on RSN 927's Racing Pulse. Welcome to The Verdict.
You're sitting in Matt Stewart's chair. You stop sitting on the fence.
Finland won't win the Australian Guineas. Is that what you want me to say? Because it's not going to happen.
The Sharky make a goose of himself in the mounting yard at Flemington when his horse won during the carnival.
You have a winner on Cup Day and back it at 26-1, mate. See if you can control your emotions. Goose, you know, you're a pickle.
You'd hate to see a go at a Royal Ascot underperform.
I think they will err on the side of caution because I think Chris Waller is super, super attuned to her reputation.
Did you back him? Did you follow up your
I didn't, actually. I'm going through a difficult time at the moment where I've lost faith in my own abilities.
It's a new opener for the...
Of my therapy when you keep playing that back to me.
A new opener for The Verdict. It is that time of the week. Mickey Lynch has joined us. You didn't realise we're on air there. You are having a snooze, were you, Mick? Great to have you in the studio.
No, I was just completing my background. Did I not hear my rekindling tip in there?
That's a bit old now, Mick.
We can't live on
history.
I'm a great one for after timing, and there's no better after timing than that.
I love terminology. Like I reckon only in racing parlance could someone call someone a goose and a pickle, like Shark called whoever the caller was.
Well, it's been an interesting weekend in racing. We've got some breaking news off the top that Lindsay Park Racing has just tweeted our much loved stable star. Extra Zero has run his last race. The 11-year-old has been retired, healthy and completely sound after 109 starts, 7 wins, 33 placings, $1.7 million in prize money. Thanks for the memories.
It's a good story, too, that the second phase of his career, like I think he was about an 8-year-old when the new ownership group got involved to tackle the Darwin Cup, and then they had all that... A great ride with him with a lot of placings. The timing's perfect. I mean, he's 11, you know. I didn't think we'd get a press release saying we're planning the next 2 years of his career. So.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think, didn't he finish second to Monaco Consul in the VRC Derby? That would have been 2010.
Yeah. I think you can say 20 years ago.
Something like that. Mm. He even ran over hurdles as well. He had a couple of starts over obstacles. I don't think he was actually that successful, was he, over the jumps?
But, and the Australian Cup as well, which was just
it's a grand old horse.
Great story, and there should be more of it, you know.
Absolutely. And well done on the actual retirement too, because he's healthy and he's sound. And when you get to this age and that many starts, it can lead to one negative story if something does go wrong. So they've handled his career beautifully. Speaking of remarkable careers, what about Extra Zero there? A pacer, have you heard of this pacer, which is called Destrius? Last night, he's a 14-year-old in Hobart, start 442, and he won his 98th race.
Wow. It must mean he goes around multiple times a week sometimes.
442, did you say?
442 starts, and he won his 98th race.
So he would have started running as, a two-year-old?
Well, I don't know.
Speaking of feel-good stories, I'm going to keep ramming this home. I'm going to get you there next week.
You're a picnic man.
You've got to go next week, all right? I'm not getting irritated that you haven't been going.
I tell you what, because we're doing the news for the next month. After that, we will be going to a Saturday picnic meeting. We'll pick one out.
Because I reckon one of the things that's missing, and the Bish was up there yesterday, Brad Bishop, and Whitey was telling me that his parents were there as well, and so on. The people who have a good voice and a bit of reach in racing need to start going. You and others, just to get an understanding of why I keep raving on about it and why we're so passionate about it and why we think it's such an important thing for a sport that's got its negative images, you know. Went up to Yay yesterday, hung out a bit with Matty Morris and a few of the other jockeys for a bit of a chat about their lives and so on. And there's such great stories there and they're such characters, these people, you know, and... The basics are the same. They're still riding around these tracks and risking life and limb and all that sort of stuff. So the danger element and all those sort of things are still the same. It was an hour and 20 to get up there. The crowd was quite small because it was a Sunday, not a Saturday. I'm tipping the crowd was bigger than the Werribee Cup, but we'll talk about that.
Well,
it was magnificent, and I insist.
Great story.
I'm
keen to get out there. We will do that after the tennis is out of the way in January. We will get there in February.
I want the Racing Victoria power. I want people who make decisions about racing and understand racing or think they understand racing in this state to start going to these meetings.
You're
going to
compel Giles Thompson to be at the next Balmain.
I'm compelling. I've got a Schindler's. I've got a list, and I'm going to compel them to go. I'm going to even hire a minibus.
Do you know, I've never actually been to the picnics here. I've been to point to point races in the UK, which are similar, I'd imagine, but they're over jumps, but amateur riders, and obviously some of the gaff tracks, you know, the grade fours and fives.
I think one of the differences would be the weather. Here, it's all about the weather. It's all about sunny weather. That's the overriding element is the weather, the board shorts and the sitting under the trees and stuff, you know?
Well, I suppose that's a prerequisite or a given in Australia, isn't it? But I guess with point to points, people dress appropriately. They know it's going to be cold, and there's the tailgate parties and the whiskey hip flasks. Oh, so yeah, it's all about appropriate
behaviour. Matty's interested now.
I was so uninterested at the start.
No, tailgate parties, lots of posh girls and lots of whiskies and hip flasks.
It is a great snapshot to the industry and the lifeblood. And as you mentioned, great stories from the knockabout characters who are involved, which is what we want to get more out, more of the stories and the characters.
Yeah, and I think through our mediums, I think .com and others, I kind of think that this is a little untapped area that should be explored.
What about the weekend? We had both meetings, provincial, obviously, Pakenham Cup Day, standalone Saturday, and the Werribee Cup Day yesterday. Pakenham, a lot of consternation on social media and Twitter. Was it just punters not happy because the favourite horses weren't winning?
Track was off.
I know you were very strong on that. Now, other people have counted and said, well, the times say that was just the way the track was
running. It's not reflected through the data. I mean, if the tracks shift, I mean, Eagle Farm was a bit the same, and I think it's a similar Kaikuya profile. I know they're struggling a bit with the profile.
They've had issues with the track in the past. No one ever wants to be on the rail.
They are still having issues, obviously. You don't get so many roughies winning unless there's an issue. You know, the racing, the truer track produces more genuine results.
Isn't it? Possibly it's the end of season. It's off-season horses.
Mate, the track,
they
are having issues with the surface of the track.
Okay,
and it's reflecting in the results.
I don't dispute that, but if it's end of season racing, lower quality horses, inconsistent horses, that's when you do tend to get the rougher results.
They were good, promising horses, and the results were
skewed.
Well,
like a carousel, very young and promising horse.
Well, generally, there was nine races.
Yeah,
and the fact that he won, to me, tells me that the playing field was not quite as the club would have liked. And the only reason I'm bagging it is because I'm such a fan of the track, of Pakenham and the spacious track, and they are having issues, and I just hope that they can sort them out. It's hard to describe it. If there's no distinguishable bias at the end of the day, it was very hard to make ground early, then they overcompensated and so on. You know, you can argue on data that, well, hang on, they were coming from everywhere, roughly sort of speaking, and that sort of stuff. But that doesn't mean that the surface itself isn't having issues, does it? You know, it just means that the data doesn't suggest it was a screaming
leader. Well, there was some shocking runs by a lot of favourite runners there. The Cup was a strange race because we always questioned going into the race what that brutally run Ballarat Cup did to a lot of the horses, and that may have flattened them. Mick Sharkey's just tweeted again. Don't forget to mention that I tipped the winner at $41 like a carousel. So miracles do happen. And it was a good story.
You know
what was his case for it going in?
I think that's where he said the pen landed.
Yeah, I wanted to hear the rationale.
He did say that he liked the back up and the run at Sandown the week before. And he was back that day at Sandown as well.
Can we say of Mick Sharkey tipping a $41 winner, because that's where the pen landed, even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
Twice a day, yes, yeah. Exactly right.
No, good on him.
Well, it was a blowout for most punters. I know it was a dirty day for myself. but the quaddie paid $91,000. Standalone meetings, what's your point and where do you sit with the Saturday meetings over the Spring Carnival? Ballarat, Pakenham, have we got the mixture right?
I think we do. I think the only box that needs to be consistently ticked is that they have to race to city standard. Mm. You know, everything else, like I saw the coverage of the meeting going in yesterday and on .com, and you see the sea of marquees and the crowd spilling in, and the bit of a trick with the one road in, one road out at Pakenham, which, yeah, ongoing is probably going to be a bit of an annoyance, but really big crowd. Everything worked. Everything was great. I mean, this is a relatively new track, and it's hard to attract crowds at racing, but they've obviously in the right demographic, and everything's fantastic, except for the fact that they've got to make sure the track race as well.
Well, this is planned to be a new super hub of racing in this state. I know there's allotments of land, which I think Hayes has bought some. I think Philip Stokes has bought some. They want to make Pakenham a super centre for training and the future of racing in Victoria. So it will be one of the areas that racing's built around. And I know Racing Victoria's put a lot of money into it, and it's probably not making that money back at this stage.
No, it's a bold and innovative strategy, though, because, you know, you have to look at demographic changes, the sheer value of land and real estate in the inner city and urban areas. And, you know, surely it has to be better for horses if they're out in the country rather than cooped up in stables with traffic fumes and what have you around them.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I would have thought so. Just on the standalone concept, you know, I've been a big supporter of this for several years. I actually like the fact that the metro tracks get a break. I get fed up with just going to the same ones week in, week out. Not that I actually wasn't at Pakenham at the weekend, so there's a disclaimer. But, you know, the Bendigo Ballarat Cup's a brilliant day, isn't it? You know, usually huge fields.
They got their
races,
track right this year. Remember the previous two Ballarat Cups were horrendously leaderish?
Yeah, they were very leader biased.
Well, that was a total.
But, you know, the Bendigo meeting in the autumn. That's a
ripper. The only thing they didn't
really
quite get
the grades going up though. Class of horses. It, you know, people were really critical of these things after a year or 2 years. You've got to give the idea 4, 5, 6 years to bed in, haven't you? For punters to get used to it, for trainers and owners to get used to sending their horses there.
And if Pakenham's going to become a signature track, it needs a signature meeting it needs the support.
Prize money's huge.
Well, when they boot the trainers off Caulfield and Flemington, it's going to be a lot more important then because. I wouldn't mind. I think we're entitled to talk to Michael Hodge about just where they're at with the track surface, what the ongoing issues are, whether they feel that they've got on top of them, whether they feel that the track had a bit of an issue on Saturday. So I wouldn't mind.
All right. Well, we'll get Trent to give Michael Hodge a call, see if we can get hold of him. It's been a divisive issue on social media. SMS is coming through at the moment. Congratulations, Shark, for picking the winner. But how did that horse win? I don't believe in track bias, but that surface was a joke. That's from Jason in Avalon, Sydney. Yeah, we get another one which says, props Saturday's Pakenham meeting. It was beautiful. A great, big, spacious track. Loved it. So,
yeah, but a lot of, you know, committed, serious punters were unanimously of the view that the track was off.
It certainly does look like a very nice, big, spacious surface and arena. Not surface, but venue, doesn't it?
Oh, that's why I get a bit narky when it doesn't perform.
Dick, what about on Sunday, yesterday? I tell you, a track which I think is underutilised and a cup that is under-promoted is the Werribee Cup. It's only $100,000, I think. And
it's a total disaster.
A great race day yesterday.
Total disaster.
You don't like it?
Remember where it was and what it was? Remember Werribee Cup days 10 or 15 years ago when we didn't have this plethora of staying races everywhere in such an intense period? Mate, they were queued up for miles to get into the track along the railway side. It was a typical great country cup like a Ballarat Cup. Now they've relocated it to a day where no one ever knew it was on. We had the Pakenham Cup
lost.
Saturday. No one even knew the Werribee Cup was on yesterday.
It was. It
total
sort
disaster.
Of really has fallen through the cracks. I remember. Well,
and a field of hacks.
12,
went
13
well.
Years ago, I remember going out there on a Wednesday afternoon to cover Makybe Diva winning the Werribee Cup before she went on to win her first Melbourne Cup. And I think that was her fifth or sixth win in a row. And you know, the status of the race has really just fallen bad.
And it's the status
field
of the track.
Is a bit,
it's a semi-metropolitan.
A bit hard.
Hey?
The field of hacks is a bit harsh.
Compared to what Michael and I were talking about historically, where it's at, it is a terrible
field.
Well,
it's only a $100,000 race.
Well, that's an indication of where it's plummeted. And it's also
where
track.
Where does Werribee stand now? Is it really just a quarantine centre with a couple of meetings thrown on just to sort of legitimise its status as a racetrack?
Identity crisis that I'm sort of talking about, is what is Werribee now? Is it essentially a quarantine centre? This is a track, and it's always had all those issues with...
But the track looked magnificent. The track's now...
But the track has always had issues, complaints about it's not adequate, it's not good enough, it's had potholes, or whatever it's been... All these sorts of issues. So what is Werribee?
But it should be fantastic asset. It's so close to the city. It's in a massive urban growth corridor.
That's very true.
The western area there, you know, huge development that is scheduled to take place over superpopulation. And that's where if racing wants to, it's got to get to the people and it's going to be right in amongst the people there. I think it's a big opportunity.
I reckon the knock on it is so entrenched now that it's almost unsalvageable and unresurrectable as a as a exciting venue. I just don't know whether it's... You can do it with Pakenham. I just don't know whether we would be salvageable in that way now, you know?
Well, it's a shame because it's a very good asset, close to...
It's 20 minutes from town.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
There were some nice horses that won yesterday. None more so than Grunt. It went around $1.50. Mick Price's horse, it is a horse of the future, especially for the Autumn Carnival. Maybe race like the Derby in Sydney if he gets through there as well. So I really enjoyed yesterday's racing. I thought it was good, honest.
But do you understand what we're saying about where from where?
I think it's been lost. I think the meeting's lost. I'd love to see more prize money put into the race and a bit more promotion.
It's a
well.
Lost venue and a lost meeting. I think that's what we're trying to say. Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I take unless we want to go to a break.
Good going.
I was going to say your point about all these staying races and it's a too big a dilution and they're hacks. I mean, the point is if you want to increase the pool of stayers, you do have to put on races. It's something that started the last couple of 3 years.
Who wants to increase the pool of stayers,
well,
though?
The
breeders don't.
If you left it to the breeders, there'd be no event more than 1,000
Yeah, but the breeders
meters.
Are the ones breeding the horses, not Racing Victoria.
Well, but it's more... Racing is... The breeding tail wags the racing dog far too much already.
I know, but
view.
It does wag it. So you can't put...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't mitigate its behaviour. If you've got an unruly dog, you do try and teach it new tricks, don't you?
Oh, well, we'll go to Coolmore and Daly and tell them that they're unruly dogs.
Well, yeah. They have no problem breeding
but
middle
distance
horses
elsewhere.
But all I'm
saying is if there's no commercial benefit, the breeders are in it for commercial gain. If there's no commercial benefit in putting on, in breeding stays because no one wants
there's
to buy them.
There's massive commercial benefit. All our most... You know, richly endowed
it's
races.
More about a quick return.
They're eight
horizons away, that return, and no one wants to go through the journey. That's the problem.
SMS, people agreeing, Werribee, I grew up in Werribee, and Werribee Cup Day literally used to stop the town. It was a massive day in the community. Now no one could give a hoot, pull the pin on it. It's embarrassing to see what it's become. That's from Steve. Even Stevens also won a Werribee Cup, now just a low-graded benchmark race. That's from Philip in Altona North. It's disappointing to hear this feedback because, you know, the country racing is once again the lifeblood of racing in the state, and it's these country cups and the hubs.
You know what the lifeblood of country racing is? I was telling you for the first 5 minutes what it is. It's not Werribee. It's not Werribee Cup. It's Yay Cup. It's Balnarring Cup.
Well, in part. Well, from a financial point of view, it's not on free-to-air. It's not on television.
I was going to say, how do you build it up, though? It's not, you know... Channel 7, racing.com.
It's the importance
show
of grassroots.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to take a break in a moment, but Michael Hodge has been kind enough to join us, the chief executive of the Pakenham Turf Club, and he joins us now. G'day, Michael. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Michael. Yourself?
Very well, very well. We're having a bit of a debate before. You probably didn't hear it about...
No, I haven't.
..how the track performed on Saturday. I know there was a lot of social media feedback, some saying that they thought the track... didn't perform up to standards. It may have been difficult to make ground. As the boss, what did you think and what was the feedback from your track manager?
Well, our feedback was we thought it performed better than what we expected going into the race meeting, given the track rating that we had and, of course, the amount of rain that we'd had in the prior week. And what was difficult for us was that 29 mil of rain that we got Thursday night, and then I think we got another 4 mil on Friday morning at about 10 a.m. So that kept it in the soft 7 range, which wasn't ideal. We didn't want to be going into Cup Day soft 7. But within 24 hours or 36 hours, you know, there was varying debate as to whether or not it had got back to a 6 or a 5. I spoke to track people like, or track walkers like Peter Ellis. Mick Kent was very complimentary of how the track had pulled up and performed, given the amount of rainfall and what the general expectations might have been upon arrival. So we were quite happy with the way it performed, given those circumstances.
Taking away the effect the weather may have had on it, just the actual track itself, and I know you've had issues for the previous few months. Are you totally on top of the issues with the Kaikuyu, with the track ongoing? The feeling among trainers is that come over through summer it'll be flying, but off season it gets a bit choppy and churny and so on. And with the Kaikuyu, it struggles to really take hold at that time of year. Are you confident you're on track of whatever issues you have had with the track previously?
Well, Matt, it is a function of the fact that it's a 100% Kikuyu track, and the Kikuyu goes dormant throughout the winter. And then depending on, how long it takes for the seasonal change and the tracks to, the Kikuyu to kick back after its winter dormancy, and that can be delayed by, 2 to 3 weeks, according to, how the weather conditions have prevailed for that year. So, yeah, you do get better every month and as the weather continues to warm up. Now, we now have a recess for 6 weeks and we do our annual track renovation. So we've got trials this morning and then the boys will be back onto it tomorrow for its annual 6-week renovation. And you're right, as the weather warms up and the Kikuyu kicks in and performs at its best, it will be absolutely in prime condition for the months of late January, February, March, April.
Well, Hodgie, appreciate you taking the time coming on to have a chat to us. Just quickly, what was the crowd figure on the weekend? Was it up?
Oh, it was up significantly based on those pre-bookings that we were able to secure. So it's just looking around about 8,500 at the moment. So that's up from just on 7,000 last year.
Oh, that's good. Good to know. Well done on the weekend. Any early tab figures back?
No, we'll have to wait a couple of days for all those to filter through. But I do think that's the key metric that we need to have a look at, and we'll certainly pass them on, Michael, when they're received, hopefully today or tomorrow.
Thanks for that, Michael. Cheers.
Righto, thank you.
Bye. Michael Hodge, the boss there of the Pakenham Turf Club. Got to take a quick break because I want to get on to Hong Kong. It was a stellar day yesterday over in Honkers, and a great day for the Aussies with Nash Rewilla riding one of the winners. We're going to have a chat to Nash probably in around about 15 minutes' time.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents The Verdict.
He's vulnerable. Tozen Basil, Talismanic, they run to him. Then came Chemical Charge, running a big race from Max Dynamite. Talismanic gets on terms with Highland Reel. He won't surrender. Tozen Battle's run is coming to an end, but Irish Eyes are smiling. Highland Reel, what a fitting finale. Highland Reel takes the vase from Talismanic. Tozen Basil, Chemical Charge, ran a massive race.
Oh, he's a superstar, Highland Reel, and what a way to end his career on the track. His 7th Group 1 win, taking his prize money to $14.2 million from just 27 starts. He's just a bona fide superstar who produced his best all over the world, and we have that great connection because Winx pantsed him when he was here in Australia.
He vindicates Winx, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, and she is wonderful. But in mitigation, you've got to remember, when he raced against Winx, he was just still a Northern Hemisphere 3-year-old. He's miles better over a mile and a half than he is over a mile and a quarter. And he really didn't start to hit his straps properly until he was a 4-year-old. I mean, as a 3-year-old, I think he was actually quite disappointing for them. He got beat in the French Derby. He finished behind a horse, I think, Lloyd Williams has got out here, Kilimanjaro, in the Irish Derby. He could only run 5th there. They took him to America to start winning those Group 1s because they're not always the most hotly contested. And then he grew a leg. It was really from the time he came to Australia and then went on to win in Hong Kong that he became a really fantastic iron horse. So, yes, Winx pantsed him and that was all wonderful. But, you know, it's not the same horse now that...
It sounds good for us.
Well, it does. Yeah, you're Aussie, boy. But you're going to lap it
He's the magnificent anomaly for the likes of Godolphin and Coolmore in this case, because he's an enduring star. He's raced on and on and on and on. He didn't retire after winning a Group 1 or whatever, as a flashy 3-year-old or something like that who could sprint. There's not many of these horses in these big operations that go on for this long.
Well, to be fair, Coolmore have in the last decade, Duke of Marmalade carried on as a, 4-year-old, and Dylan Thomas won an arc, I think, as a 4-year-old. So
how old's Highland Reel, though?
Highland Reel's 5.
Yeah, that's an extra year above.
It is. I'm wondering, you were talking about stayers. I mean, he would be almost perfect for Australia to sort of base trying to grow breed stayers off. I mean, he goes on rattling fast ground. Unlike all these European horses, his preferred surface is a brick road. And he's out of Havega, who's out of circles of gold. So he's got a lot of very good Australian bloodlines in him. His full brother, Idaho.
The very least, he could be a good shuttler.
He could, yeah. You know, and he's a fantastic mile and a half horse, and he's a tribute to them for keeping him in training, because he was a talking horse as a 2 year old, and I remember he got beat
Mr.
at Goodwood.
Ed.
Well, he got beat at Goodwood in the middle of
the year.
He
said he was no good as a young horse. He could talk as a 2 year old.
There you go. He was precocious.
It was all downhill from there.
He was a bit disappointing, and then it wasn't, as I said, until the second half of his 3 year old career that he got going. So it's interesting, they kept him in training until he's a five-year-old. How good would all the others have been on the track if they'd given them that chance? But we know, because of your friends in the breeding industry, that cash is king, and that's the imperative.
Well,
gee,
it was a tough win yesterday, because Ryan Moore made him work, and he was left a sitting shot. And I thought halfway up the straight, the Talismanic had him cold.
Oh, he looked
but he was
as
pulling
if he,
away
yeah,
on the line.
He looked as Talismanic looked as if he would just pick him up, didn't he, and go past him. But this is, as Moore said, he just knows you get after this horse and he just gives it to you. So fascinating, you know.
Was he an important horse for this meeting? I didn't follow the absolute depth of the international races to make a completely qualified comment, but I know because of the issue we're about to talk about with quarantine, we weren't there. There didn't seem, because there was a peak time for Hong Kong about 10, 12 years ago where...
Well, I think there was a little less interest when you don't have your own Aussie horses. Obviously, we had our connections, and we, the Hong Kong Cup, geez, it was a beautiful ride by Zach Purton on time.
But what I'm saying is, has Hong Kong, is it not, hasn't quite got that really strong international, you know, mega power for this meeting that it probably had 10 years. Is it slightly at a crossroad or not?
Well, and we'll probably get on.
Not according to turnover figures and the money invested.
No, yeah, I'm talking about the star attractions, not
we'll
the
probably
turnover.
Get our friends from Hong Kong who do listen here criticising
no, I'm just,
us
but then again,
on
I'm
this. But, you know, I agree a bit that the absolute, you know, Enable doesn't go and run in Hong Kong, does it? Arrogate, although he's rather discredited now. Talismanic had won a Breeders' Cup race, but he was a sort of, he hadn't been a star in Europe.
Felbrev, Maurice, these are previous.
They were top horses. And Highland Reel would have been, I suspect, the highest kind of profile horse. And fantastic as he is, I mean, one of the blogs today pointed out he might actually struggle to make it in the top 10 list of this year's highest rated horses. I mean, Enable beat him out of sight in the King George over a mile and a half, his preferred trip in the middle of the year, admittedly on soft ground, which doesn't favour him, favours her. But I think he was, to answer your original point, he was a very important horse for this meeting to get European interest.
I've just got a feeling, just as much as the Sydney racing authorities are desperate for an international Everest runner, an international championships runner, we want a fancy Cox Plate or Emirates runner. I wonder whether Hong Kong's in a similar position where they need a couple of really big years with a big ticket international.
Well, he should have been winning that race, really. Aside from Talismanic, I mean, you know, Chemical Charge, kind of Group 2 horse in Europe, Max Dynamite, I mean, really a handicapper, Group 2 type horse, you know. I don't think there were so many of the European top Group 1ers there, no.
There's one thing they do which I find really annoying, and that is the instant replay of the race as soon as the race is run. I find that I know they're very gambling.
It doesn't seem the timing's right, because you lose the atmosphere, and we've spoken about that over here. You want to hear the winning connections and see all the especially for the huge races, the big races.
That's exactly the point. Like, I know that they're gambling focused, and for some reason they think that replaying the race straight after satisfies their gamblers over there. They like that. But when you get a really big international meeting with Aidan O'Brien there and all these other big stars and the stories, I just find it a very important minute and a half to waste with a full race replay. I just don't get it.
Especially when it's like a mile and a half. You go back into 2.5 minutes.
They haven't even pulled
replay
up, and then you're back at the barrier stalls again.
Interesting. Brent Zarafa wrote a nice piece on racing.com about the whole quarantine situation and the effect that it is having on not just the Hong Kong meeting over there, because the Australian horses can't go, but the ramifications and the blowback for Australia. That the gist of the article is that the Hong Kong hierarchy are none too pleased with Australia and basically blackbanned them over there. There was no mention of Australia in any of their promotional material in the lead up to the race meeting, all because of the quarantine issues, which stem from a federal government point of view with their biosecurity and the horses moving in and out. It's going to be interesting, because this is what Racing Australia is basically built for. And you have the head honchos of Racing Australia who have these political connections to try and smooth the waters in these areas to make sure that Australian horses and participants aren't disadvantaged in these
areas.
As soon
as you mentioned it's the jurisdiction of Racing Australia, I lost hope that it would be resolved.
Well, that's
well, the
point.
There you go. The lobbying clearly isn't working, is
180
it?
180
know?
Days is what the quarantine is now for an Australian horse to come back home. No one in their right mind
well, then,
would
they're
go.
Never going to run again, are they? And even if you sell one up there, you're not going to be able to get it back in. If it wanted to come back, and we've seen horses come back, it'll be a very long time, I'd say.
So the Department of Agriculture and Water Resources have downgraded the quarantine status of Sha Tin due to the construction of the Conga Training Centre, which is another separate training centre that they're developing in Hong Kong so that they can float horses and have more than one training complex due to their population over there. So,
well, that's because that's in China, isn't it?
Correct.
That Conghua training centre,
yes.
In Guangzhou.
Oh, you're truly global with your pronunciation.
I have actually been there.
No, it's fantastic.
Can you get a Rastafarian to say that?
Charas, no, it's not a problem, guys. All right, for I and I.
It's funny that Hong Kong is kind of tarnishing us because of the federal government, but they need us there, and we need to start going there again. We've dropped right off Hong Kong. You know, we're barely represented year in, year out now.
Chautauqua won there. When was the last
one? He won
one?
In the autumn.
Yeah, he won in the autumn, not the international. When was the last international meeting? Falvalon.
Well, Falvalon was 2001.
No. So. Surely there's an Aussie winner since then.
No, but we've
Falvalon's
had representation.
Monopolised all the way back.
Yeah, we've had representation, but I don't reckon we've had any for 2 or 3 years, or one or a trickle in the last 6 or 7 years. That's a failure from the Hong Kong Jockey Club to properly attract us, and a failure from us to recognise the importance of the meeting.
But there's not a lot they can do if it's a federal government edict.
No, forgetting this, traditionally, I'm talking about generally.
Prior to this, yeah, maybe there's just, you know, the Everest now is going to be, you know, why would you go? Well, I suppose you could go on and run in Hong Kong,
but that's only for sprinters, and I know we have a lot of them. But
we're going to have a chat to Nashra Willer in a moment, boys. But before we do, we must discuss the Group One over in Perth, the Kingston Town Classic. Poonamoo was an upset winner, and I know I heard you speaking on Saturday morning when you're having a chat about Barrier One. Well, it was the death knell for poor old Blackheart Bart, because he was absolutely poleaxed by Willie Pike. 28-day suspension, which it's a hefty suspension, but the interference, I think, warranted it.
Even those who love, even the parochial sandgropers who love Willie Pike, reckon he was he got off light with 28 meetings. So Bart is a big, bold. You know how he was wide in the railway and luckless. That's a preferred option for him than getting bottled up on the fence and getting. So He came out of it with an issue too, Blackheart.
Well,
he's been vetted
apparently
today. He's going to be spelled, but hopefully it's nothing too serious, because what he showed last up was that Blackheart Bart's back, and we need horses like him, because the ranks in that top echelon are a bit thin.
Well, yeah, he's a wonderful stalwart horse, isn't he? I mean, you know, if every horse could be, not even with his ability, but if they had his attitude, the game would be a lot more straightforward for punters, wouldn't
it? Well, Kevin from Drysdale agrees. Do you agree W. Pike got off lightly? I think he should have got 2 months. That's from Kevin in Drysdale. Now, Matty, you were away last week, and it was an unbelievable program because...
Oh, because I wasn't here.
Now, all the love that was being shown
for you.
There
was so much positivity from you.
7 of the 9 I tipped, I believe.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it until
you're
I was pointed
out to me. You're back this week, and SMSs are back. Hello, gents. It staggers me that there is so much whinging from Matt about track conditions. If the track is not playing the way you like, change your betting tactics. It's an outdoor sport, as many
have
said before.
Yeah, but if the track's not playing the way you like, because it's a shifty track, how do you it's not a leader's track or a switch. You can't adjust to a track that has a non-pattern issue, you know, so.
Lenny Dale Steve says there were 30 international horses in 4 races. How many do you want, Matt, over in Hong Kong?
I drove past Lily Dale's hometown of Croydon yesterday on the way to Yay. yeah, I know what he's saying, but I think we are their market, the clearest, most obvious geographical market, and they can't get us there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just on Poonamoo briefly, I'm just going back over his foot. Yeah, he ran behind Winks. as a 3-year-old, yeah. Yeah, some way behind. But
I've never heard of Poonamoo until yesterday.
In the Celebrations Far Lap Stakes back in March 2015.
Had you heard of him until yesterday?
He's won $1 million now, Matty. Well, yes, he won the Asian Bow. He used to race in Sydney.
Out of sight,
yeah,
out of mind.
Grey horse.
Perth. But yeah, he ran behind Winks, Haraki, and Supara.
Oh, Poonamoo. Yep. Yeah,
going to take a short break. Hey, you'd be more attuned with the horses that ran around at Yay, the picnics that you were at yesterday. Good story. Kindulator. We spoke to Brad Cole during the week because he had a runner up at the...
Won by Reduce Choice out of Lateria?
At Bendigo. I don't know what the breeding is, but Brad was the trainer up at Bendigo who suffered influenza A, was put in to a coma. Life was hanging by a thread. He got back, had his first runner at Bendigo last week. Well, he had a win at the A picnics yesterday with Kindulator. So well done to Brad Cole. Would have been a happy
there was
win
one
yesterday.
That one of my kids, I was going to say he backed, but he couldn't have because he's only 14 years old. But one of them that his father backed on his behalf, almost. No, that's illegal as well. But anyway, one of them was by Reduce Choice out of Lateria, bred by Dali or something like that. I love those ones where I wanted to go up the train and say, right, tell us the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did this happen?
Actually, how old were you when you had your first bet?
Probably about the age of my youngest compulsive, 11.
Yeah. How about you, Michael?
I think I had my grandparents. I was going to the races in strollers with them, having a dollar each way on things with my grandparents. Brendan Cormick's just tweeted in, buffering Rebel Day and the most recent Hong Kong international runners. Thank you for that, Cormo. We're going to take a short break. On the other side of this, we're going to have a chat to Nash Rawilla over in Hong Kong.
The Verdict on RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Mr. Stunning raced up to Penophobia. Wider out is DB Pin. Further back, Blizzard, then Lucky Bubbles, followed by Amazing Kids. Mr. Stunning in front. DB Pin right in for the fight. DB Pin, Mr. Stunning, they're clear of Blizzard. Mr. Stunning and DB Pin. Mr. Stunning in front. He's got all the moves, Mr. Stunning. He wins the sprint from DB Pin and Blizzard third. Lucky Bubbles fourth. Amazing Kids. Let's go. Donkey ran on from the back. And then the Wizard of Oz, the right man.
Yeah, it was a big win for Nash Rawilla, Mr. Stunning. It was a beautiful ride too, and it was Nash's first international Group 1 success, and it was made even sweeter because his dad, Keith, was trackside to watch the win.
It's pretty special. I still haven't double talking. I haven't stopped crying. It's the biggest thrill I've ever had, I think. It's just something special. Yep.
Fantastic, and Nash is saying, it took you a lot to get here, but you must be thrilled that you're here now.
Well, we are. I just got to thank everyone for making me come, my wife. She's something special, and she said I had to come. So it's all great all around. Yeah. I'm having trouble talking. It is something special, yeah.
Oh, it was great to see Keith Rawilla, obviously very emotional, having a chat to Brent Zarafa from racing.com after the win by his boy Nash yesterday. And Nash joins us this morning on Racing Pulse. Good morning, Nash. Congratulations on the win yesterday.
Yippee!
What were the celebrations like with your old man last night?
Nah, pretty good. He hasn't had a drink for about 28 years, I think, now, Dad, but he kept everyone else topped up. It was a great night.
Oh, so he didn't actually take part himself then, Nash?
Oh, he took part. Don't worry about that. He just
didn't last very long.
He didn't have as much alcohol as us.
What was it like listening back to that interview then? Because, you know, you've been away from home for a long time and out of the country for a long time. To have your dad there and to hear your old man so emotional about your achievement, to hear that back then, what was that like for you?
Oh, no, it was a special week leading up to it and all, having him here, and I've got to point something else out. It was my second international Group 1 win.
Oh.
So I won one in Dubai as well, but it was a long time coming, that one. I've been here for 3.5 years. And
was that Elfstrom?
That was Elfstrom, wasn't it?
Yeah, Elfstrom. Yeah, so.
I tell you one thing I was surprised about. Was that your first Group 1, though, since 2014?
Yeah, I won a Group 1 race in Macau, which I don't sort of think out of Macau counts. So it's sort of, yeah, it has been, that's right, yep. I think my last one was Hannah's goal in
the all-aged.
Just before I left, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I saw you quoted, Nash, just saying it was really timely because you think this can set you up for the next 5-6 years in Hong Kong, that, you know, you had to make a statement like this on a big day like this to really sort of maybe not convince everyone, but just to totally establish yourself in the front line of riders. Is that fair to read it that way?
Yeah, look, I think so. Yeah, it was important because until you do it, you may as well be a maiden through one winner. Yeah, it doesn't sort of matter what you've done outside of here. Only what counts is here. So it was an important win, and, you know, it was a pretty short price favourite, and it had a lot of attention leading into the race, and I guess when you're on the best horse, it makes the job a lot easier, obviously, but still you've got to get the job done, and I think going forward it'll be a very important win. Career, yeah.
It was a dream the way it panned out, wasn't it? I mean, you rode him beautifully, but just the spot he ended up, and you peeled out at the right time. I mean, if every race was like that, you'd be wrapped, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you sort of here's one of those places where every inch you save sort of counts. But you know, you don't often get it races like that where they're sort of set weights, and you know. It's a very tight handicap here, as you know, and it's not often you get on a horse that's sort of handicapped, got a rating up the sleeve or whatever to win a race. So, you know, you've got to save every inch of ground and sort of wait as long as you can before you produce them and things like that. But that was a bit different yesterday. I was sort of felt like the old days of riding Mordois and Piero and all sorts like that. You sort of you can afford to sort of do a little bit more work early and play the percentages and you know, he got the job done for me. It was terrific.
Nash, you just mentioned Mordois, Piero. You rode some pretty quick horses for Gay and Chris Waller when you were here. How does a horse like Mr. Stunning compare up and these Hong Kong sprinters against the quick ones from Australia nowadays, do you think?
He's right up there for sure. You know, I've ridden some amazing sprinters, you know, throughout my sort of 25 years in the saddle, he rates right up there. He's probably, you know, like horses like I rode that really good sprinter of Maxwell Smith, Rupert Tano.
Won a Newmarket where there was a neck between 15 runners over the line. Did you win him on him that day, the Newmarket?
No, I couldn't make the weight on him. Yeah. That was a shame. I think Stevie Baxter rode him that day. But I won a good one on him. And
did you used to ride Bentley Biscuit as well?
Horses like him, you know, like they're big, you know, and take over target. And that they're big, strong. You know, they're machines, but this bloke, he's a little bit more petite, but he's got a heart the same size, you know, so it'll take him a very, very long way.
So, Nash, you said that you're hopeful that this will set you up for the next 5 or 6 years. So Hong Kong's home for you now with your family and your kids as well. Is that where you see yourself riding out the most of the rest of your career?
Oh, I don't think so, because I want to try and ride till I'm 60. But
60.
You and Brad going around until you're 60.
Say the Robert Thompson standard.
Keith, he's 70. He's still riding. It's only he couldn't get a flat ride that he's given up.
Hey, just quickly over there, like it seems to be Marira. Even guys like Preble have kind of fishing around the edges a bit now. What's the environment like there with? The Dougie White era seems to be just on the wane a bit, but then you got Marira and Purton and guys like that. How tough is it for you and others up there at the moment?
Oh, look, this is one of the toughest, cruelest places in the world, I tell you. It's, you know, you look at fellas like Dougie and you just can't believe it. It's a ruthless place, honestly, and you got to keep on top of the game every minute you're here and just ride the wave while it happens, because it's no one worries about yesterday. It's all about what's happening next Wednesday now. So,
so what does that mean, Nash? Loads of dinners with agents, or loads of dinners with owners, and chatting people up all the time?
Well, you can approach it that way, but at the end of the day, I think what's more important is getting the job done on the track, and that's what I sort of rely on.
Hey, what's your nickname over there, Nash?
Chalfan, fried rice.
That doesn't sound too promising.
Well, my first time here, they thought I'd look like one of the Chinese chefs bloody cooking the fried rice, so stuck to it. But anyway, I've been called worse things, and it's... Now they're starting to call me special fried rice.
Ah, very good. Well,
that's the one with the little bits of prawn in it. Yeah, beautiful.
Well deserved, Nash. Congratulations yesterday, mate. It was great to see you salute on the biggest day of racing in Hong Kong. Enjoy it.
Yeah, will do. Thanks very much, guys.
I remember when he first went to ride for Gay Waterhouse in Sydney, when he was down here and he had a few issues, and, you know, he's with Vassal and all that sort of stuff. And he was just... you know, and
well, it was a surprise, really, that he went to Gay, wasn't it, at the time, you know?
He's ridden some good winners.
Oh, yeah.
You forget almost about the Pierrots and the Grand Army, all those horses that he was...
Also, how hard he does it with his weight. I mean, he's like Brad struggles. They're neither of them small guys, are they, for jockeys?
Yeah, he's more of a lemon chicken than a special fried rice.
Speaking duck at the moment. Yeah. You mentioned before, I think we were talking off air about the families and the dynasties in racing, yeah, which have so many. It's a perfect series for siblings and families and racing, because it's just like you've got Brad and you've got Nash, who are at the top of their game, and the family history with Keith. It'd be a great series that's just crying out to be done in Australian racing, because it's unlike any other sport, really, where the families are so entwined and follow each other down that same path.
The Stewarts, one of mine's now working in a stable.
It's completely a lifestyle thing. That's unlike other sports, isn't it? You know, you and I guess the size thing too. If you buy a jockey, you're probably going to look like a jockey. You know?
Absolutely. SMS coming through. Have you mentioned the old Marvel Destros winning in Tassie? Yes, we did. 14.
Open the show with Destros.
98th win, 440-odd starts. We might try and get the trainer on tomorrow or Wednesday as well, because it's just a freak story. We're going to have to say goodbye, ladies and gentlemen, but there's an SMS or an email that's come through saying, any reason why the Hong Kong form guides aren't in the Sunday Herald Sun? Matty, you used to work there. Is that just a space issue?
No idea.
And cash. You've got to pay to get the form guides in there.
Haven't picked it up in recent times. Just quickly, I'm going to organise a minibus, and I'm going to get some like-minded souls. I'm going to work on this now. There was one of the tweets that came in suggested it. I think
Wardy,
that's a good idea.
Said, get a bus organised, we'll all join you. We might make it an RSN racing pulse.
Do it in the new year.
And I don't mind mid-strength, so I'll drive.
Oh, you've locked that in. Matty Stewart driving the bus. We'll have a Racing Pulse trip to the picnics in the new year. We'll get that organised. We'll put all the details up on the website.